Welcome to Nova's here. My name is Greg Horn. Hard to believe 2 days before Christmas. And last week we talked some about what we can learn from Mary when she was given the news that she was going to be the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk about what we can learn from Joseph when he received the news that he was going to be the father of Jesus. And I'm reading the passage from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and I've just got four takeaways from these seven verses. But verse 18 says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us." Verse 24, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." And that's from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. There are four things as I read this recently and was processing it that were takeaways for me, and maybe they'll speak to you during this Christmas season. But the first thing is that Joseph's actions spoke louder than his words. Joseph's actions spoke louder than his words. You know, it's one thing when we receive news that we're not expecting, and we've all answered the phone, and before a caller ID, we sometimes would, you know, not know who it was when we would answer. It was kind of excitement because, hey, it might be somebody we hadn't talked to in a while, or maybe you were waiting for a phone call from somebody. But there was kind of some excitement about answering the phone. But now with caller ID, that's taken away most of the time. Unless, obviously, the person has the number blocked. But the point being is that, you know, when we've gotten phone calls that gave us bad news or unexpected news, or maybe we knew the caller ID and what we thought was going to be a good phone call wound up being an unpleasant and a painful phone call. And we've all gotten those before. I can remember when I got called at about 3 in the morning at Bowling Green when I was assistant basketball coach at Western Kentucky University. It was my middle brother, Mike, on the other end of the phone. And the only person ever usually called me that late was my best friend from college, Rob Block, who was playing professional basketball over in Italy. And so because of the time difference, occasionally he just was really lonely, homesick that first year, as you can imagine, when you're in a country and you don't speak the language all by yourself for 6 months out of the year. And so not often, but occasionally he would call me at a crazy hour like that. And I was young then, 24 years old, so I didn't mind. But when this time when it answered, it wasn't Rob, and it was my middle brother Mike, I knew that there was a problem. And so instead of asking, you know, Mike, I just said immediately, "Mike, what happened?" Because I knew something had to have happened for him to be calling me at almost 3 o'clock in the morning. And he told me that my dad had had a heart attack. And that I said, "Is he okay?" "So we don't know. They took him by ambulance. And, you know, we hope so, but you need to come home." So I did, and not knowing if my dad would be alive when I got there, that two-hour, it should be about a two-and-a-half-hour drive. I think I made it in about 2 hours, my little Nissan Sentra. But thankfully he was, and as those of you who listen to Hope Is Here regularly over the past 2 years know that through this process, at the age of almost 50, my dad surrendered his one and only life to Jesus Christ and was transformed the last 24 years of his life till we lost him to open heart surgery, triple bypass surgery after another heart attack. But so thankful that God spared his life for those 24 years. But in the story that we're reading about Joseph receiving the news that he is going to be the father of Jesus, Joseph's actions spoke louder than his words. And the reason I say that is that, you know, he looked through the Bible, and in preparing this, there is not one Bible verse that has a quote from Joseph in it. Not one. And yet, Mary, as we talked some about last week, she has some verses, and she's mentioned, you know, throughout Jesus' life, but we never really hear much, hardly anything about Joseph after this, and he never speaks a word in the Bible. And yet his actions that he was willing to say, even though you can imagine the ridicule that went on back then, because most marriages were arranged, and that she's pregnant, and on top of that, they hadn't even been married yet, and they hadn't had sex. They had not, you know, committed any sin. And so over 2,000 years ago, people could be stoned for things like that. A woman that was sexually active, and Joseph had been shamed, and for he and Mary both. And yet Joseph, as it says in the verse 19, at first he was going to just divorce her quietly, and he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, but he went on and married her and became the father, even though it was not really his child. It did not come from him. And so I want to ask you today, are your actions speaking louder than your words? And Ralph Waldo Emerson has that great quote I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. In other words, you know, you may tell somebody that, hey, you know, I'm not nice. I'm really humble or whatever. I laugh, and you know, you hear somebody say that. To have to tell somebody that you're humble is kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? You got to tell somebody that you are. And, you know, as followers of Jesus, I hope that our actions would speak so loudly that words wouldn't matter. We wouldn't have to say words. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Those fruits of the Spirit would be so evident in our lives that even if we're not given a chance to say something to somebody, just like Joseph wasn't quoted saying anything in the Bible, our actions speak louder than our words. The second takeaway from what Joseph, I think, can teach us at Christmas is that Joseph thought through this major decision. So we talked about a little bit earlier. At first, he thought he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly, the Bible tells us. But then it said after he considered this, then the angel of the Lord came to him and spoke to him, and then he decided to do what the Lord had asked him to do. And I want to ask you, do you have a major decision you need to make, like Joseph? I mean, am I going to want to take this person as my wife, even though she's telling me we're pregnant, and I know that we didn't have sex, and she's telling me that she didn't have sex with anybody else? And yet he waited before he made that decision, and God spoke to him through an angel. And I'm so thankful that he did wait and that he did honor what the Lord wanted him to do. But a verse that came to me when I was reading this and thinking about this as Joseph processed everything. So many times when I get some unexpected news and not news that I expect or like, is I want to say something, and sometimes it can be, you know, emotionally charged when it's not good news. And James 1:19 comes to mind. It says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I want to say that again. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I've heard somebody say a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it, that, you know, maybe it's kind of proportionate that since God gave us two ears and one mouth, maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak. And, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that, isn't there? Kind of hard to stick your foot in your mouth when you're listening. And then also heard somebody say once that if you listen and don't talk as much, you'll know what you already know, and you'll know what the other person knows, so you'll know twice as much information as you previously knew. So a lot of wisdom in that. A third takeaway for me from this passage in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, is that being a person of integrity often involves making unpopular decisions. By Joseph being willing to take Mary as his wife, and she was pregnant, and they hadn't consummated the marriage themselves, there was some ridicule going on. And yet, he went on and did the right thing. And I love in Job chapter 27, verse 5, remember Job, who had just everything the world would desire and lots of children, and Satan came to Job or God and said, let me get your servant Job and take away everything he has, and we'll see if he really loves you. And Jesus or God said, yeah, go ahead. He faithful and he loves me. And Job did. He stayed faithful, even though he lost all his riches and all his children were killed. And then he got physically on, had sores all over his body. He couldn't even walk. His friends and his wife were even like, man, just curse God and die. Come on, you obviously sinned or did something wrong. But I love what Job said in Job chapter 27, verse 5. I will never admit you are in the right till I die. I will not deny my integrity. And I want to encourage some of you today that are on this kind of fine line, flipping between, you're already in the gray area about something, either in work or in your personal life, with maybe doing something financially illegal, or maybe an adulterous affair, lying about something that happened. I mean, I don't know what that is, that temptation is, but I want to challenge you, encourage you to be a person of integrity, even though it may not be popular. And Joseph did that, even though he actually had been a person of integrity, but he made a tough decision, and one that most people would not have done. It would not have been a popular decision, but God calls us to do that sometimes. Mark chapter 12, verse 14, it says, a man came to Jesus and said, teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And so just like 2,000 years ago and now in 2019, sometimes some of the religious people are some of the more hypocritical and judgmental people and are not people of integrity. And yet Joseph did make that tough decision and honored what God asked him to do as a person of integrity and didn't say anything. He just did the right thing because God asked him to do. And I want to challenge you to be like Joseph and do that. And last but not least, the fourth and final takeaway I think we can learn from Joseph at the Christmas story is that when life throws you in an unexpected curve like Joseph did, I want to ask you, how will you respond? Will you get in fear or faith? Will you get in fear or will you choose faith when you get unexpected news of a dramatic proportion like Joseph did? And somebody say, man, I'm walking through that right now, Greg. Well, I want to share a couple of scriptures that have really helped me through the years when I've gotten some really unexpected news and just sometimes borderline devastating news. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight. It's been a life verse for me for the past 20 years, and I've got four or five like that that have been life verses, but maybe you need to know that. And then Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So not some things, not most things, but in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So I hope this has given you some encouragement today. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.